welcome you all. I know we've had a little bit of a break. Right now we're going to start with 8280 Wisconsin Avenue. This project is at site plan. They came to you previously at sketch plan. There were a few issues that came up specifically at the planning board and that staff wanted you to really hone in on in the discussion. And in particular, the first was the overhang over the sidewalk and into the right of way. And what is your opinion on that? Do you think that it's acceptable in this situation, or do you think that it's problematic? The planning board was really concerned about many projects coming in with cantilevers. The second issue was because they're not doing a significant step back, do you think there is sufficient alternative articulation of the facades to break up the massing? So those are really major issues that we wanted to get your input on. And otherwise, I will turn it over to the team. Do you want to introduce everyone?
Sure. I'm Doug Furstenberg with Stonebridge Caris.
Steve McDaniel with Ewing Cole. We're the architects.
Evan Wise with Donahoe.
Dave Cernigli with Stonebridge Caris as well.
Bob Dalrymple with Williams and Block.
Pat Gordon with Williams and Block.
I'm going to be very brief. I know that'll disappoint a lot of people in the room, but you know, when we left after sketch plan, this—I know George, I'll really disappoint you. This group had really asked us to look at, I think, a very specific issue, which was, how does this look if you did a strict adherence to the primary versions of the design guidelines, as opposed to the alternative methods that we were using. So, Steve will present that, and then in working with staff. They asked us to look at a refinement on the southern edge of the property and then really just an evolution of the design with more articulation and more detail that we've put together. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Steve to have him walk you through the presentation and have it, you know, obviously interrupt along the way if that's better for you. It's not the world's longest presentation, but Steve.
Hi, everybody. Our idea is still that the building is a symbol of science, and it welcomes people into Bethesda as they come south on Wisconsin Avenue. Some of the points we looked at are listed here on the right, but I'll come to those one by one as we get into the different drawings. There was a question about the type of trees, and we do have the shade trees on Battery Lane, so that just shows our landscaping plan. This is an important drawing. You can see on the left how one could apply the guidelines before looking at alternative methods. We feel that this drawing demonstrates that it's really a better design if you do use alternative methods, and that's what's on the right. That's a diagrammatic version of what we're proposing. Are there any questions about that?
Yeah, I do. So what's the gross area of the left versus the right building area? You know?
I could come up with that in a minute.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit smaller on the left than on the right, predominantly because of the setback on the upper floors.
Yeah,
I think that would be good to know, but also the follow-up is the floor plate area of those upper floors on the left versus the right.
Yeah, the main difficulty with that from a usability point of view is that the floor just becomes very tight on a per floor basis and more difficult for a science tenant to use, especially because of the trend in laboratory design for open labs.
Yeah, I mean, I think our upper floors from the building on the right, Steve, we have that floor plan later in here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 15,000 feet on the floors on the right, which is, you know, almost, quite frankly,
small.
It's already small. So obviously the floor plates on the left are going to be
step back to 2,300 square feet.
So it's going to take
on the front. You know, for future reference, because to be honest with you, we get a lot of applicants come in, developers come in, mm-hmm. maintain, well, we can't make it economically work
mm-hmm.
Under the guidelines. You know, it would be think for you to kind of show us the diagram of why the floor plates work one way versus not another way, to kind of give some proof to the fact that this is not, that it's not, doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, we could obviously do that. I mean, we hadn't thought about it because the issue is at 15,000 feet, we're already probably, honestly, on the smaller side, and you take that down under 13,000 feet, we're just, I mean, where's the magic number when it doesn't work? I couldn't look you in the eye and say, I know at 14,372 square feet, you know, we broke the camel's back.
Well, it's not about necessarily about area, it's kind of about planning.
Right.
Show us how the labs work.
Yeah.
At a bigger floor plate versus a smaller floor plate, why they don't work at the smaller floor plate.
Right. And have some examples from other labs.
Yeah. I think there's two issues that drove us here to use the alternative, you know, techniques that are driven the building. One is we are a very small floor plate size, so we are trying to maintain the largest floor plates possible. But I think, and the reason we haven't really focused on the question you're asking is, we just think this leads in this particular block to a better design. What we can do in the sculpting and the shaping and the ins and the outs and the articulation, we thought it was a better design. So we were really trying to accomplish, it wasn't just purely, let's maximize the floor plate. We'd obviously have a different design if we were literally just trying to max everything here. We were really trying to deal with the BRT at the base, you know, in terms of how we address the BRT, even though we know, given the buildings that are south of us, that the BRT really can't function. You know, so we're trying to balance all those things. Well, I mean, unless they're going to knock down a building that you can't replace in terms of its height, I don't think any of the buildings to the south of us are likely to get knocked down in the near term. You know, so it was the BRT at the base and the ability, which SHA's now agreed that they'll allow us to go into the right of way above, and also trying to maintain the floor plate size and the design. I mean, those were all the different factors that led to this direction. But Steve, why don't you walk through some of the specifics?
Right. This is just the same information from an eye level view. I think this starts to get at why we feel that design is better. You can see the basic block on the left, and then in the middle is the horizontal line imposed by a step back idea. And then to the right, what happens when you try to create a vertical emphasis? And our view is that the combination of that horizontal and vertical emphasis makes a building that has a presence, an important presence on this particular site, in this particular place. Here we've shown each aspect of the alternative methods that apply to our design, such as limiting the apparent face, changing materials to reduce bulk, activation of the street, placement of the entrance and articulation, and the top being designed as a transparent screen. And a few more, the 2.45 corner treatments is important, I think, in the alternative methods. We've also looked at base variation, and I think this one's important too, compatibility. Given that this is here and this is here, to have a building that was strictly horizontally striated, I think would be the wrong design for the site. And that's where I think the combination of the vertical and the horizontal is successful in this case. In terms of the comment on the overhanging element, We did two things to refine that, and both of these, I think, will make it feel lighter and more elegant. One thing we did was we're treating the end of it as a wing almost. So you'll see the lightness of that facade, and that'll make the overall mass seem softer. The other thing we did, as you can see here in the plan, is we angled it back slightly, which also makes it more polite and a softer architectural gesture.
What did you angle, I'm sorry?
As this surface comes along, it comes to a point and then it angles back.
Oh, rather.
Yeah.
We've also brought the stair back. When you talk about the lightness, the stair used to have to come all the way out to the curb on the south end, so it kind of had a more harsh, bulky end to it. And we took the paint on the inside of the building to pull the stair back, so it all comes down. It seems like it's a smoother finish to the edge.
Plan is really just for reference.
While you're on the plan, can I make
yes.
a comment?
Of course.
Stairway that's in the middle. That's the exit stairway coming from the upper floors.
Yes.
It really is blocking a lot of the activity back in the tenant area. Is there no other configuration you can do?
Well, I don't
code
know
mod, yes.
if you can see
we need
that.
A code mod.
the code.
We completely agree with you. I mean, it's just the problem.
The code requires some separation of exits as they hit the sidewalk. So this is a 60-foot separation that's required by the building code. We will be trying to figure out another way to meet the code.
I think what we've decided is we're going to do glazing there instead of a wall. And then what we're going to do is use the back wall there. And while it won't be as active, we'll make that part of the design, so it's got fun in life. It was not a good moment. No. It was not a good moment, you know, when it was, you know, we looked at 16 ways from Sunday to Trump. Bringing the stair down on the front is so integral to the design and the floor function, but the problem is there's just the separation requirement. And you got to take it to the left or to the right. If we were going to have to impinge one of the spaces, clearly we wanted to preserve the corner space as the most dynamic, most open space that we could.
Why don't you have your abutting properties articulated on these kinds of plans? In other words, the buildings to the south don't show up, so we can't see any kind of relationship other than in your perspectives of where those buildings are. And the same thing to the west. I think that would really help some of your placement, if you will, and maybe some of your arguments. Setbacks, etc.
You showed that on that previous slide where you showed the annotations.
No.
To go back, there you go.
Yeah, but
he's talking about in true plan view.
True plan. Right.
Fair enough. That's a good comment.
So this is our typical floor.
We would love it to be one big space for one tenant. It's designed to be either multi-tenant or full floor tenants. I mean, we've got interest from smaller tenants, we've got interest from bigger tenants. I mean, it really just depends. The floor has been test fitted by a couple of tenants. It works. It's not as efficient. We've got the 33x33 column grid, which works really well for the lab users. And I do think the proportion of the glass and the hard surface, which is an important test for the lab users, has actually been pretty successful in terms of where they want hard wall and where they want other things. And you know, we also on the west side have additional shaft space because depending on what the ultimate percentage of lab use is, we'll need more ventilation capacity. And so that's why we've got some additional hard surface on the west side as well.
So from what floor to what floor is this camp room
two, three, and four, I believe.
Two, three, and four.
Is that correct?
So they will have the same floor plan like this.
This is the upper floor plan, I believe, correct, Steve?
Yeah, the best is to look at this, yeah.
One, two, three, four.
So depending how you look at it, so this, there are two floors here. Then there's two floors, I knew it.
Four, five.
Guarantee, I knew it was gonna happen, but yeah, it should be me.
Yeah, so this is.
You do this, Steve, I don't wanna go over there, that's great.
This is two stories. This is three. So one, this would be three, four, and five are like this. And then it steps back. So it's only three, four, and five on this end at that plane. And then this comes back.
It's probably helpful to look at the street level with vegetation to test out how the camper maneuver over the streets. And also, look over, if you go to your plan view, the previous, I was wondering, I'm just thinking out loud, is that next one, when maximizing, is that possible to pull back the facade to the column grid? Because it looks pretty proportional plan right now. It's just adding a few feet out. Would that be a big impact on your floor area?
It would be a huge impact in achieving a setback in the building, though. I mean, the square footage is not enormous, but if the building's going to have the variation in the setback and the verticality, that's what really drove that aspect. I mean, otherwise you're just going to have a sheer face straight up the building, flat up the building.
Is that dotted line on the top, is that the facade of the second, third, fourth, and fifth?
The blue line, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, the blue line is where it goes up above the 72 feet, and that's the, from the blue to the...
So that's the cantilever
that's
area,
the,
right?
That's the cantilever area.
So maybe I'll keep going. We could come back to this, of course, if you have... more questions. So this view is updated to show the refinement of this end.
How many feet is that small building in front of the base of your building?
That's why that site plan is very important.
Right.
It looks from this drawing that they're coincident with the overhang.
It's very comparable.
Your
perception is correct.
Yeah, I believe this corner is now slightly behind that.
Behind it.
It's about 6 feet of the base.
When we pull it back, when we're out the whole way, it's about the same.
Right.
And then when we pull it back on the south end, it pulls in several feet.
And then the slot, or what appears to be a slot between your building and that building.
That's 5 feet.
Five to six feet.
Which is what they asked us to do.
Between
and so
here.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
We were between three and five before, and they asked us to be a minimum of five, so we've pulled that back.
On the west facade that you're seeing here, we've increased the number of the amount of glass. And the way we had done this is that this part of the building is analogous to the step back on Wisconsin Avenue, so that this is sort of a virtual step back by virtue of material change, right? Which makes it feel like it has a base and a middle. And what we did is we took that glass and we extended it about 10 feet further in this direction. And then we also carried it across here, which makes a nice integration of this corner with this facade.
Keeping in mind, most of the west side is the side core of the building, where the elevators and the bathrooms and the ventilation shafts are. One of the comments, particularly from staff, was that they just thought we hadn't articulated the west side enough. And so that was the idea, to kind of break it into the different components to give it some life.
here's a, an aerial view that's updated. This gives a nice sense of the screen-like nature of the top, so that as you look through that screen, you'll get a kind of a flavor of biotech looking through there. It'll look like a machine, but a machine that has a covering over it.
So this is the view from on Rosedale from East Bethesda,
right,
and why the sculpting of the entrance area of the building we thought was important, because of the way you'll be coming from East Bethesda and also where the sidewalk hits the project. It's not at the corner, so giving a more welcoming environment for the pedestrian as they're walking across the street, pulling the building back and creating that relief as people are crossing Wisconsin, we thought was very important visually.
Any questions on that? Okay, and here's our rendering. Do you want to bring out the?
Yeah. We thought we'd give you the upgraded version of the vision.
This is the next level of development to give you a feeling for what the building would look like.
And this is in the context of, you know, with all the other buildings actually properly articulated.
So I'll just mention one more time that in our view, using the alternative methods has allowed us to do a composition which is vertically oriented, because the building is a symbol of science and because it's a gateway, but horizontally oriented to respect its role as part of the city and to satisfy the intent of the guidelines. So that's really our idea, is to do both.
Go back to the view that's from the west looking one more there.
This one?
Yeah. Where's your property line? All these, Christmas trees are. Whose property is that?
That's adjacent. Correct.
Right. And then is that building, which is over the passageway, abut your building? Or?
Which, this building? Or
yeah.
This building is. Pretty hard to the property line. It's a
right.
solid brick wall
okay.
to the
and
east.
Right, it's right up against.
It's
yours.
On the property,
yes,
pretty
right.
much
yes.
on the property
okay.
line. Yes.
And your loading docks are right past those trees, of course.
Our loading docks are right there. Yes.
Yeah, I think there was some concern about the length of the loading docks and the congestion that's created by the coming and going to the site, etc.
Yeah.
And the turning movements, because we have the offset of the two streets, one coming out of the community and one coming out of the city, and that offset. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, we answered all the technical questions,
yeah.
So the turning radius is moved and all the rest of it. The real issue, which we've talked about with staff, is we'll call it the policing issue. We don't own flats 8300 anymore, but even if we did, you just can't stop UPS and all those folks from just pulling up on the street and stopping. And so the real congestion issue isn't really being able to back the truck in. It's really the fact that on the north side of Battery, you have a lot of car, the trucks just pull over and go in the front door as opposed to using the loading dock. And so, we've been talking with folks about that. We in the site plan application, we put which is relatively new in terms of plan approvals, we put a loading dock management plan in, that will become a stricter enforcement mechanism on ourselves. But bluntly, the real issue is if we get UPS and FedEx to behave, we'd all be happier in terms of how the sidewalk areas would work.
Okay. sure. The materials of the main facade are a silvery metal panel and a tinted glass. And what we've done is varied the proportion of the metal and the glass depending on the situation. So that's what you're seeing here. In this area, it's all glass to achieve that effect I mentioned. We have stone at the base, at these columns, and here on the on this side, and wrapping around this side. That's all stone that would be a natural material. The screen at the top will have kind of a filigree feel to it. We haven't picked a material yet, but that'll act as a transition between the mass of the building and the sky. So the building will kind of vignette out into the sky. We'd like to have the glass here be as transparent as possible for obvious reasons, but probably the glass higher up in the building will have more tinting for solar performance.
Okay, I'm going to dive in. Let me express a personal view, both as an architect and as a resident of Bethesda. First off, I really like the use. I like what you're doing with the building. I like the fact that it is a building for science. It's not another residential building. I guess we're all concerned that Wisconsin Avenue is just going to be aligned with residential buildings. As a resident of Bethesda, I get a lot of feedback about not meeting the guidelines, specifically the cantilever. If I look at the two massing diagrams that you presented initially, the one on the left, the one on the right, the massing diagram clearly is better. But if I look at the building as it's designed right now, it just seems really busy. And I think it could be a lot simpler. I think you really need to look at pulling that cantilever back. I think you could make area up by pushing some of the facade out on the upper floors, but I think it would be a more elegant building and a greater celebration of science if it were simpler and a bit more cohesive in its appearance.
I mean, in the massing that you see here, we worked with them pretty hard, because if you, I don't know if you saw the initial drawings in the last one, but there wasn't the podium, you know, expression at all. So that line that's like on the top of the fourth floor, essentially on the two sides, wasn't there. And I think that was important to kind of define, you know, to give a definition of the podium that we are typically asking for from everybody. Usually we want a setback, though. And so that's, I think, an important line. I'm not exactly sure, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you on the setback, because I think it is a big issue. And it's a huge issue now, because you're like the sixth building to come in on Wisconsin that's doing it in a row. You know, if you were the first one, you probably could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's a lot more difficult. And the board has, you know, recognized that. And they're not happy, particularly a couple people. And so my point is that I agree with you, but I do think that horizontal line at that level
helps.
You know, that fourth, fifth floor needs to be there some way to kind of help delineate that basic down the street.
I don't disagree with you. There is that old saying, though, maybe some of you know, how many people does it take to do a watercolor? One to do it, the other person to tell you when to stop. And I think it just needs some editing, to be honest. I need some simplicity. Make it feel like it's, you know, it's more of a cohesive building.
It's trying very hard.
Yeah, it's trying too hard.
Trying too hard.
Trying too hard.
As an example, along that line, I mean, I think the offset window components that you see on the right of the corner tower and then reappears on the left. I sort of wonder, why did you decide to introduce the right-hand sort of transparent glass panel instead of continuing that sort of rhythm across the north face of the building? It's following up on the fact that, you know, while I very much like the building and I like a lot of things about it, I could be persuaded to say that a little bit of simplification might benefit the project in the long run. As far as the setback is concerned, one, I think the horizontal plane, the fourth floor, certainly helps. Well, I think the other thing that mitigates, for me, the cantilever component at the fourth floor is the substantial canopy, if you will, over the lobby entrance on the corner, so that the eye, particularly from this level, is drawn to that area, and the top cantilever doesn't seem to be nearly as impressive as I've seen it in other buildings. The other thing is that it's a two-level cantilever. There's a third floor component in the south part of the building, and then as it turns the corner, it rises up, which grants a more of an emphasis on the entrance component of the building. And I think, along with the canopy installation at the, and that second floor line, I think is working better than it did before, and I think probably better than most of the other projects that we've talked about with the cantilevers up to this point. I do think that the thing we can't overemphasize on this project is that this is not a skyscraper tower. It's a relatively modest 10-story building. I still think, and I mentioned it last time, works well with the setback of 8300 across the street. I think that you know, the fact that there's an open plaza there that gives full view of this building allows it to, in my opinion, project or itself into the Wisconsin Avenue sight line stronger than it might have if it was just in line with the building to the north. I'm personally looking at the guideline setback on this site versus the concept that has been proposed. I find this a much more interesting building, much stronger building. Thanks to the materiality, it's going to work well. But overall, I would respectfully say that I think the cantilever in this situation is mitigated in several ways, vertically as well as horizontally, and it I think can be a very successful project.
I think the canopy helps on the because it's really masking the cantilever, which is above it.
That's my point.
In essence. So I think that really helps that strong horizontal that's down, you know, one story up or 15 feet.
I mean, that's really at your high level.
Yeah, that's very, very important. But I have to say I agree that you've lost something from your very first presentation in terms of the simplicity of the first one. Seem to hold together more, you know, formally over the whole building. This one is very, very episodic. You know, from the massing point of view, I have no problem with that. But from a material point of view, I think the first submission, what was a couple months ago, held together holistically, you know, more successfully.
On the other hand, I do think the west facade is very
I think they
were
good
job.
Staff
yeah. West facade has some discipline, but
this
is kind of missing.
Yeah.
Well, it does, except in the lower left-hand corner, the same component I was talking about. That's where it gets a little more complex than maybe it should.
Yeah. Where's the initial one?
Steve, can you? This is an old one. Do you have?
No, but that is your.
Yeah.
That's the old
that's
one.
The one you
that's
want.
No, that's the one we just submitted. This is the current submission. But you had it on your phone.
I have on here. Do you want to go to that?
Let's go to it. Let me see if I can figure out how to do this on a split screen so you can look at both.
They're on paper.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I need to get this small. One thing I just point out when we go through here, remember one of the precedent images I think everyone liked was the building in Toronto. That's was a lot of what we're looking about. That's it, it right there. Let's see if I can get to a similar image. Is that probably the...
Well, I might want to change my mind.
Yeah, that's what I thought you might when we saw it. Oh, and I think they worked well with staff on kind of making these refinements.
Yeah, I mean, here's where the differences are. I mean, I think there have been some subtle changes at the base that we focused on. Unfortunately, we've got the fire stair issue, which is a bit of a disappointment, but not much we can do about that. I think the refinements at the pedestrian level, and I think I've heard that from this, have worked really well. And why, there's lots of different reasons. I mean, no one wants to use the cantilever word, but it's all been integrated for reasons. And in our opinion, the big change was obviously on the west side, which I think is a very positive change in terms of, you know, I don't even need to show you what it was before. We don't need to go there. So I think the real question, if I look at this building, is, you know, in the rendering, clearly the metal's starting to punch more and you're starting to see more life in it. I think the real change here was there's some subtlety in how we've done this. And I think the top's maybe a little stronger than it used to be. But
the one on the left, the horizontal white lines are much more pronounced.
Right. And that may be one of, you know, as you, part of it's rendering and part of it's reality. But I do think, as I look at, that's probably where the color of the glass a little bit and then the horizontal nature of the bands is stronger. No question about that. Excuse me?
It's positive.
It's positive.
Mm-hmm.
The zone here on the west.
The slot or this one?
Yeah, no, that, you know, that bay window, if you want to call it that, gigantic. That
this one right here?
You know, to the right, there.
Okay.
That zone, that language is the same as the language on Wisconsin Avenue past the
The
ribbon window.
The south slot, so to speak. The south slot.
Right.
Yes. Those relate to each other.
Okay, so the corner of that is articulated and defined pretty aggressively on the right.
Yes.
The transition on the left coming to, you know, to your all glass
corner. I'm trying to see if we have a better shot.
If we have a better shot of that to see how that transition is made. It's more seamless, whereas the other is very articulate. So if you...
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. There's a boldness.
Right.
A much stronger boldness.
Of that.
Of same, that.
Yeah.
And Dave or Steve, how much of that is glass versus metal in here? Because I'm wondering if that's maybe more from the
surface. This surface is metal.
Metal, right.
Because that may be...
And the return is metal. Right.
But that may be where I'm not sure what was planned here, but there is a much stronger corner here, without question, than there was over here.
If you turn this corner back here, back.
All the way there?
There.
Yeah, that's the one I can't seem to find. I don't think we have
Is that good enough? Right, because then that's heavily articulated the way that's heavily articulated.
Right.
Okay. And then this is seamless as it comes around.
Correct.
And so there's no strong definition there. I'm just getting an idea. Yeah, I'd like to change my mind.
So you're allowed.
Yes. I'm allowed. At my age, exactly.
Well, at any age, except for our kids.
But it is very episodic, though, still. And so a little bit more continuity might help.
And where would you see that coming into play? Because that's always you're trying to find the balance. Because the biggest reintroduced moment is this one here, which does work very well with what we're doing on the west side now. I mean, that's the juggle.
Might still be able to make, I don't know. Yeah. It's just an observation that I'm not sure that the north facade needs to be as
busy
ended up.
I don't think we're as wed to that, to be honest with you. This is the statement here we're trying to make. That's the gateway statement. That's the front door of the building. You can obviously, we've had different versions of this where it was much more subtle.
So along the element on the upper right-hand side where your cursor is right now,
yeah.
Go down, that
Oh, you like it, okay.
I actually, I do like it. What I don't think works well is what's immediately to the left. It just seems very fragmented to me. Too busy, very, very busy. I mean, put aside the whole issue about the cattle, but
right.
I'm just talking about
just a pure,
right
yeah.
now. It just it seems very, very busy.
Would you prefer that to be more glass?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah no, I'm, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. No, well, I just want to make sure I know where the direction is. I mean,
well, there's only two languages on this facade. Right. It's the random window spacing, right. Which you're talking about, and then the relatively smooth glass with horizontal. So
yeah.
Those are the only two that really appear.
I mean, if you squint your eyes to the rendering on the right, that whole facade with that curtain, where your cursor is right now, just seems to be much more uniform. Kind of a delightful contrast to the kind of the, let's go, I don't know what you want to call the element on the upper right-hand side, the bay window, not the bay window, but the.
Yeah, I think there's two things going on there. Just let me delve deep. See, I think part of it is the horizontal banding here, you know, did the coloration there did make it, makes the whole thing busier, whether you like it or not. To me, as I look at, you know, now I look at them side by side, and I do think there was a little less randomness to this than there is now, so that you could have a little more uniformity because it'll smooth it out. I know someone will cry in Philadelphia if we do that because I'm sure they're wed to every single, as you know, they're wed to every single. But that's okay. It's all part of the process.
Won't be me.
It won't.
But the white,
people, it takes two people to do a watercolor.
Exactly. It, only two?
The white horizontals
really jumps out. That's what's happening.
That's
the white horizontals are really jumping out.
They are.
As
they
opposed
are.
Over on the right. That's why.
Yeah, I got
going back to my.
Actually, the rendering's helpful here because it actually punches that out and it brings it. I would not be averse to more subtlety to those horizontal banding, but again, I think we'll have two people that are in 47 opinions over that. But I would not be troubled by looking to some simplification here because in particular it's in between two, you know, glass,
elegant.
Simple, elegant statements.
And
therefore if you tone it down, those become stronger and they're great elements in my opinion.
The language of this piece here which then relates to what?
This piece
words,
relates very much
color.
To this piece.
Well, does it? That's the.
It would be the same. It's just a different sun angle.
Okay.
As
well. Yeah. No, the idea is to truly bookend
right.
those two to be very,
yeah.
very similar. So you're seeing it, which augurs for this area, and this area in between to be a little more simple,
right.
just to tone them down, to become back in this one because it's not a rendering. They feel like backdrops when you render it, and then you lighten.
Yeah.
The horizontal, they become much stronger, and I do think.
Right. So
tempering these
right.
two areas would allow the stronger elements to be the keys.
I would hazard an observation. I think 20 years from now, people are going to look back at our offset vertical window slots that we've all been guilty of doing for the past 5 years, and say, what were you thinking? Why were you doing it? I mean, I would. This is a situation where I wonder if this went back to a more regular grid, would it be actually more positive in terms of this particular building? But
I don't think a completely regular grid because of the. I mean, part of it is the use drives you to do it a little bit, but I do think there's a jump from here, and part of it's pure rendering technique. We know that you know the detail, but this feels more subtle, and this obviously has a lot more strength to it. So I think if you take this area and this area and honestly just tone it down and look for a little more regularity to it, then what's really appealing about the building becomes the strong language and the rest of it is a backdrop, which is really, I think, Steve, more the intent of those areas anyway.
Another way to do that without perhaps changing anything might be just a coloration differential. In other words, a darker color on those particular
components.
Right. Yeah. Make it more so right
Yeah, no, I mean, the one of the reasons the one on the right works is
yeah.
it feels like it's a more backdrop color than a powerful color. So I think there's a couple techniques to look at how you would refine this. And in particular, the conversation we were just about how strong that corners become with that material, it comes out at you. And I do think there's a way through a bit of redesign and a bit of coloration adjustment to make that work better.
The
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, this is the issue that the board, or to a board, brought up pretty emphatically. This is a cantilever issue, and I think they are, and in that same board meeting, they basically said, you know, what did this group say? And there wasn't a definitive answer to that question. So we have to have one.
Well, I'll start that off. So I really appreciate the diagram showing what strict adherence would look like, and that's what we wanted to see. My personal view on this is for this particular project, I want to make sure that it's clear that's for this project. I'm okay with the departure from the design guidelines, because I think it's a very, very small site. I think it's a unique, well-designed building, and we want a viable, if you're going to put a project here, it's got to be a viable project. And while I'm not an expert on lab space tenants, I think that 13,000 square feet would be much too small of a floor plate to make that be a viable project at this location. So I think that's justification enough for not having strict adherence for this particular project.
I'll speak up again, because I get all the feedback in Bethesda being the third representative. I know how this has become a touch point, and it does become a precedent to allow other developments to do this. I buy the rationale, but I can't accept the cantilever as significant as this is.
And the move of
pulling it back,
does that do anything to mitigate?
I think it could. I think you could make the area up in other ways.
Pushing that corner back.
Without losing gross area.
But you're referring to what we already did.
Yeah, I don't know what you just did. Right. I mean, it's a gesture. I'm not sure if it's one that would be, unless we say it, I don't think it's going to be really recognized.
I think it's kind of token.
Yeah.
Now, that's curious to me, but why that?
I mean, I like the gesture, but I think it's kind of token.
We may have the drawing on here that shows how these different surfaces relate to the other buildings. Would you like to see that on the screen?
Well, I mean, I think this rendering shows, I mean, look, the issue on the cantilever is, I mean, Casey read into the record, you know, my comment about the design guidelines, which is there were guidelines with alternatives, and I realize I can't say what the other 29 people have come in and justified their situation with, but I can't talk to Casey right now because it would be ex parte, but the fact that now nothing can have a cantilever is not the right reaction to anything. The reality is every project I do believe has to be judged on its merits, and as I look at this in particular with what we're doing for the pedestrian experience, where the crosswalk is, the gateway building to Bethesda, I don't think you're going to have a design that's going to feel as welcoming to the pedestrian or the people coming into Bethesda in the context of 8300, in particular, where that setback, coming down hard to the ground at the property line. And if we're going to try to maintain the square footage, your setbacks are going to get even smaller. I mean, it's got to go somewhere. So to me, while I appreciate the fact that, you know, people, and we had lots of discussion with staff, so this won't come as a surprise, about whether we thought everything in Bethesda ought to come to the ground anyway. Gwen and Robert and Leslie and everybody knows we have spirited discussions about whether we agreed with it. But at this site, to me, if that building comes to the ground, and it doesn't really matter whether you're in 10 feet or the building comes to the ground hard, I don't think it leads to a better project for us. I don't think it leads to a better project for Bethesda. I don't think it leads to a better project, and I know you have to live with your neighbors, and I appreciate all that. I don't think it's a better project for East Bethesda in terms of a design. Forget the use, forget all the rest of it. I think this building has worked hard to try to balance its context, its neighbors, its the pedestrian, and its gateway feature. And so, to me, the cantilever actually is integral to the successful execution of the design and why people like it.
I think also, Doug, when we were at the board meeting, we didn't have the diagrams showing where this building is in relation to the other buildings. And so when you think of cantilever, you assume that the building is pushing out over the sidewalk and further than the other buildings, which is not doing here. And the property line is where the face of the building was, and then with the building below is moving in to accommodate the BRT. So it's not that we're trying to come past the proper, where the property line was.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
We're in line with the other buildings.
This building is proud of us at the ground, and this building's even prouder as you walk down.
You are cantilevering into the right of way, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Of the new right of way.
The new right of way.
Yes, I just wanted to make that clear.
Yep.
How tall is that the cantilever on the short end of it? How tall is that?
At that end, I think it's...
Oh, that'll be 26 feet.
The shortest is 26 feet.
Yeah.
To the bottom?
To the bottom.
Yes.
And this is 40 feet. In your previous submission, you had a section through that cantilever. Can you put that up?
Can I go on the right, yeah, probably about that one.
Very end.
At the very end?
Can you enlarge that?
That's the tall...
This is the taller part.
That's the taller corner.
You do have the line.
It shows the line for the other side. That's the 26 and then 35, I think.
No, the further on one...
There you go.
Yeah.
It's two stories.
Yeah, two stories. So you got 30 minus whatever for a soffit.
Yeah.
So that's your 4-foot soffit.
Right.
And by the way, as I said earlier...
So you're one of two stories and one, and remember, they're 15-foot floors here. So you got one of two stories and one of three stories.
Right.
But I think having varying height is a positive thing on your design solution, as opposed to some of the others that we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, the fact, yeah, one line, either a 26 or 36 feet or 40 feet, would not have been a successful execution.
I think for me, it could be a very handsome building. I like the massing. I actually like the corner treatment. It could be simplified, but I think goes back to the overhang that I think we need to respect the design guideline. We don't want to set the precedent for other applicants coming in, you know, doing more variations. So that's my opinion.
I'm conflicted because I'm a big believer that if rules are written and exceptions are taken, it sets some strange precedents, you know, because of perception more than reality. I think it's too bad that this building followed a number of buildings that were not nearly as successful that were presented to this board. And I think that was the generator of that term that shows up occasionally in some of the proceedings.
Cantilevers are us.
Cantilevers are us, and I apologize for inserting that, but it was not to do with this building. I like this building, and had it been first on the docket, I think there wouldn't have been these issues. So I'm conflicted because I think each building should be...
Shouldn't we be reviewing every project on its
own merits, et cetera?
Not forget what happened in the past, and it's coming, the next project, forget that. We should be looking at this as it is today.
I think the BRT is a reality which was imposed at a late date as far as development in downtown Bethesda is concerned, and that's what's creating this issue. And as Doug indicated earlier, the reality of that ever actually being delivered in the spirit of which it was envisioned, meaning an actual continuous line, in addition to the...
You'd have to remove a whole series of buildings.
Large.
You'd have to remove a whole series of buildings in order to make it work.
That's the fallacy. But, you know, we're not here to debate that, but that's causing this issue.
Right.
But I agree with what I just heard here. I mean, I personally think that we have to look at, we're a design review panel, and we want to make sure the guidelines are interpreted in a way that is positive, and where they don't work, there are options that are envisioned. And while some of the options that have been proposed earlier may not meet the standard that this project meets, I do believe that this project should stand on its own, and I think that politics aside, it's a good solution.
Does the Nick, that small building next door, does that have to also adhere to the new right of way?
If If it's redeveloped.
If it's redeveloped.
Yeah, if it's redeveloped, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the issue here, Matt, just to clarify, was that this was also where station was also gonna be?
The station?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's.
So there was increased driveway?
This one's just 122, I think.
Oh.
And then we're not, I don't think we're a station.
Oh, that was, okay.
If you're a station.
Station is all.
You wouldn't be in this room.
No, it would be, it'd be a gas station forever.
It'd be a gas station forever.
So this 122-foot driveway should be consistent along this portion of the.
Right, that is the running way for the BRT. There's additional right of way that's required when there's a station present.
So just to clarify this part of the discussion, because this is really crucial. So I'm hearing two folks, both George and Damon, really feel that this project should stand on its merit and that its alternative treatments are something that you would support, even though there is a cantilever which breaks away from the guidelines. I'm hearing from both Chowjoy and Rod that they do feel like the project should come back and that there should be a pushback of the cantilever and the simplification of the project. And I'm hearing, some conflict from Carl.
Swing vote.
So it really sounds like you are split in your thoughts on the matter. And Paul, I know that you were saying that you do feel like that they have done some treatments to address the issue. I don't know if you have a more strong stance.
I think that the for me, I think I would agree with this side of the table. What I would say is that if this was one of the first couple of projects that came into this committee, it would have gone through, and I think the board probably wouldn't have had strong objections. But I think it's unfortunate in the timing, because I do think that this building does a good job of sort of breaking down the sort of the heights along Wisconsin and of creating that the reflection of a podium, which many of the other buildings weren't doing at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just everybody knows I'm a very blunt person. We won't be coming back, because I can tell you right now, if this building goes hard to the ground, we're going to be told a setback. We're going to lose the square footage. I've been doing this for a long time. And so I just think the reality here is the site location, the site size, and the alternative use is driving the bus here. And I understand precedent. You as a design review panel, quite bluntly, and the board have the ability to choose when you want to accept precedent or not. And I totally understand the pressure everybody's under, given how some projects have marched along. But this is not a viable project with its current use. When y'all can say whatever you want. I've been doing this a long time. When we go hard to the ground, we're going to be told a setback. And then everything's going to get small, and it won't work. So, and if that's an acceptable outcome, it is what it is. And this will end up being a residential project at some point in the future, because that's what will work on the site. And again, I get how people are frustrated where the other projects have gone. I can't be responsible for what other developers have done. I can only be responsible for what we're proposing for the site and how we want it to develop. And, that's just the reality. So, those are the choices that you as a design review panel need to make, design advisory panel need to make, and there'll be a decision that the board will need to make. But that's just blunt. There won't be a redesign with this use. This use will go away.
Naomi, do you want to make a brief comment?